Welcome back to the Adventures of a Disney Dad podcast. My name is Matt, and I'm a dad of three, the founder of adventuresofadisneydad.com, a travel agent with the Magic for Less Travel, and your host. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Chip Robinson, the dad of five. And this week, we are talking all of your listener questions. So we're going to be catching up on the inbox, answering a ton of your questions. Probably the most frequently asked questions are all about becoming a Disney travel agent. What's required? Is it worth it? How do I start? All of those things. So we're going to dive into those, and we've got more Disney planning and all of those fun things. One thing I want to mention over on Instagram at Adventures of a Disney Dad, we're currently running a giveaway that ends on Monday, the 18th. We're giving away a lot of really cool stuff, $75 in gift cards to our friends, Main Street Tourist, 10 subscriptions to Matt Richardson, another friend of the show on Instagram, and the big one, $100 Disney gift card. So make sure you enter. It's free, doesn't cost you anything. So get your entry in over at Adventures of a Disney Dad on Instagram. But before we get into that, let's jump in really quickly to the news for this week. Chip, we've got a new Disney ticket discount. The first one is 3 days, three parks for $89 per day. You could be saving anywhere from $30 to $60 per day for these tickets. The key information here is that you can only get in to three of the parks, which is Hollywood Studios, Epcot, and Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I think the big thing there, especially, is Magic Kingdom. Like, you're not getting into Magic Kingdom with that ticket, which is... And you can't go to, like, Epcot twice. Am I correct on that?
Yep, it's each park one day. So it's Hollywood Studios one day, Epcot one day, Animal Kingdom one day. It's hard to go on a vacation to Walt Disney World, especially if you've got kids, and not go to Magic Kingdom. So that's kind of a non-starter for a lot of folks. The other offer is a little bit better, which is 4 days, four parks. Same process. You can go to each park one day, and the ticket is $99 per day. Again, you're going to save $20 to $50, depending on what the variable price tickets are for your trip. So it's a little bit more of an intriguing deal. What did you think of this one, Chip?
They had something like this similar last year. We looked at doing it just because we were going to be down there and just go hit one park a day. Like, that sounds more intriguing. I would definitely lean towards doing that. But my problem is, like, I'm going to be there for 4 days. I don't know if I really want to go to Animal Kingdom for, like, I'd rather go to Magic Kingdom 2 days. So that's just me, but I could see where, you know what, this is our first time going. Let's do 5 nights or 6 nights, and we'll do this 4 days in a park and 2 days at the hotel. So I see where it's a plus.
I agree. There's definitely a lot of savings that can be had if you're getting 4 day tickets. Overall, it's a pretty decent deal, especially for that first time Walt Disney World family that wants to hit all the parks one day each. You know, you start with Animal Kingdom and then work your way up, and you can save some money and definitely enjoy all four parks. So definitely check that out. As always, you can reach out to us at The Magic for Less, and we'll be happy to get you a quote for that vacation. Next up, speaking of quotes, Universal has their early 2025 packages out now. They're cutting off about halfway through the year with the expectation that that's because things are going to change when Epic Universe opens. So a lot of exciting stuff there with Universal. The pricing is pretty much the same. You're still going to see some very expensive Express Pass. Premier Resorts are going to be a good deal for that. I just booked a couple this week. I think it's a good opportunity to save some money, but everything's going to change, you know, the second half of next year at Universal. And I know Chip and I are looking forward to it.
Yeah. So with that, Matt, this is me asking a travel agent, I guess, does Universal do discounts that they'll drop for next year? Like how Disney does, they'll drop them late summer, early fall type.
Yeah. You'll see different discounts roll out. Like the one that they're currently running is buy 2 days of tickets, get 2 days free. Okay. And that ends, I believe, today, actually. And they're going to roll out another one. So you'll constantly see them rolling out different promotions. And next year is going to be really interesting because they're going to have to price in the Epic Universe, you know, the group of people that are no longer going to be going to Islands of Adventure or Universal Studios Florida. There's going to be a lot of people going over to Epic Universe. The pricing is going to, I think, have to change. And I'm sure there's going to be different options to get all of them together. I would imagine there's going to be premier perks, all of those things. So it's going to be a whirlwind next year over at Universal. But first half of the year looks pretty much similar. So I think you're going to see a lot of discounts come in as we get closer. It's a great opportunity. I priced out a split stay between the Polynesian and one of the premier resorts, Royal Pacific at Universal. Same number of days for tickets at each park. Obviously, you get the Express Pass included at Universal, and it was like $1,000 less at Universal. I mean, I know that the Polynesian's expensive, but if you were to walk into Royal Pacific at Universal, the Polynesian, outside of that like Disney nostalgia factor that like Disney nerds like us love, the Royal Pacific is just as nice, if not nicer, of a hotel.
Correct.
So, you know, it's for people that don't care about the Disney nostalgia and stuff like we love to talk about, Royal Pacific's a great place, as is the Hard Rock and all the premier resorts at Universal. They're really great options. Spring break is in full swing at Walt Disney World. It is nuts. Chip, 60 minutes today for alien swirling saucers. 60 minutes. Oh,
listen, we're going to talk both Universal and Disney is nuts.
And it's not even full on spring break yet.
And that's the thing with me. I know college this week starts a lot of high schools, and like being from Ohio, I think Ohio State's on spring break and some of the colleges up here are. I thought it was early spring break.
The main week is the 23rd. Yeah. Which I think is that the week you're going, the week of the 25th, I believe.
That's what I'm on Monday. Spring break. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so. When the majority of the country is on spring break. And so we're just now dipping into it. Genie Plus is selling out. We've talked about it before. Make sure you get up at midnight and just buy it. But things are getting crazy. And I had people commenting on Instagram on a recent video about how you can just rope drop. You don't need Genie Plus. You'll never wait more than an hour. You're crazy.
Oh, nuts.
Spring break, like, I mean, it's not happening. And so have a strategy. Definitely reach out with questions if you have them, and we're happy to help. But Godspeed to anybody down there over the next few weeks. Now, and I'll say, Chip, we would rather be down there. Like, you and I would
100%.
Rather be down
there.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy.
But I'm not going with my kids during spring break, and maybe not until they're older and ready to deal with that nonsense.
It's probably more, hey, I'm going to go stay at a resort and maybe go to the park one day.
Yeah. Walt Disney World came out with new multi-day dining features on the My Disney Experience app. So for those of you that are used to making dining reservations, you can now look at multiple days at once on the app. It's a great quality of life feature. They also made a bunch of new updates to the My Disney Experience app. So things may look a little bit different. Substantively, it's pretty much the same. Chip, when you make your dining reservations, do you like to look at multiple days at once? Like, do you like this feature?
So, full disclosure, I was looking for us for just to see what's available, what's out there. So, I didn't mind it, but like the problem is, like, I looked at the tough restaurants. Just like I looked at Homecoming. Is Homecoming available? Mm-hmm. It's only got 11 o'clock, and that's like 2 days. Which was, I mean, that's cool to see. Like, if I want to do that, but not really. So.
Yeah, I tend to always want to look by the day, and it helps me with my planning and compartmentalizing. I know I'm going to be in this park on this day, so then I get an idea of what I may want to do for that day. When they added in the feature that allows you to look at all of the times that are available for the entire day, that made things a lot easier, so I appreciate that. But even when I'm booking for guests, I'm not looking at an entire week because there's just way too much going on. I like to look, this is the day that they want. Here's what the options are that are available, and kind of work through it that way. So it's not, to me, it's not anything earth shattering, but it is helpful. Last Wine and Dine registration for the half marathon weekend is going to be in November, the beginning of November. And registration was a little bit crazy from what I saw.
Oh, I missed it. Dang.
Chip, we're gonna get you to do a Run Disney race, my friend. The registration, Run Disney registrations are always nuts. If you've never done a Run Disney race, I highly encourage it. They're a lot of fun, but the registration is always stressful. it was a several hour wait to get in through the virtual queue. And once you got in, there were some registration issues, but all things considered, I hope everybody that was trying, I know our friends, the Mini Sisters, they got in. So they're going to be down there. Make sure you say hi to them if you see them in the parks. I hope everybody else that tried to get in got it. If you didn't, at adventuresofadisneydad.com, we've got a full list of all the charities. It has been updated. I've reached out and spoken with all of the charities that are participating. I think there's 25. And I have all of their information on what bibs are available, who's sold out, what the fundraising requirements are. So check that out over at adventuresofadisneydad.com. It's right there on the homepage. And you can raise money for a charity, which I've done for the Disney Marathon. It's a lot of fun. Fundraising is not as hard as you think it is. There's a lot of people that'll support you. So yeah, get out there and do it. So, Chip, tonight we're going to jump into, I think it's probably, it's at least in the top five subjects that I get asked about on social media or even in person, which is all things like becoming a Disney travel agent. I have not been doing this for decades like some other people have. I'll also note, because I know there's some people that take this very seriously, that you're not a Disney travel agent. You're not hired by Disney. You're a travel agent who books everything from Marriott to Universal to Cruise Line, Royal Caribbean, all those things. But you're a travel agent who specializes in Disney and Universal destinations. So that said, Chip, I'm going to turn it over to you. And I think I'm going to answer some of your questions that we have from the listeners.
Yeah, so I think this is a big thing for me because I looked at becoming an agent a couple of years ago before we started this podcast and whatnot. So, and it's always been in the back of my head, you know what, maybe this is my, if I ever get done coaching, you know, or if I ever get let go or say, hey, it's time to step away, this would be something I'd be interested in. First off, like, what's required, Matt? Where do I begin?
Pretty much nothing is required. And I don't say that lightly. There's a lot of agencies that will really hire anybody and they have a large volume of agents. And that's usually the biggest red flag that I tell people to look out for. You don't have to have a license. All you have to do, especially for Disney and Universal, is that they will provide you with training. Disney's is called the College of Disney Knowledge. It's very straightforward. You don't need a license. You don't need anything. Your agency will provide you with insurance typically and a CRM, which is like a database for you to put your customer information, and you pay them a fee for those things. Where there's a difference in this industry is how much training, if any, you get from your agency. I've been very blessed at the Magic for Less. There's a huge training program. Juanita, Holly Carter, who's been on the show, Jocelyn Martins, who's been on our show, Audie, who's been on our show, they're all part of our training team and they do a really, really great job. And you spend a good several months training to become a travel agent before you can ever think about booking somebody. But like I said, there's other agencies, and I'm not going to disparage any of them, but there's other agencies that they will charge you a fee to become an agent. So a fee on top of the insurance and the CRM, the actual fees that are required, but they'll charge you an extra fee. So it's to be an agent with their agency. And they're trying to sign up as many people as they can for that $100 or $200 annual fee. And they don't really care as much about your success in your business. They just want to get you, they just want to get agents signed up over and over and over again. Get as many as they can. And you're not set up to succeed in that kind of an instance. You don't get a whole lot of training. There's not a lot of support for your business and building and starting out. And I think that can be really, really difficult. So the short answer is there's nothing that's really required. And then you have to work with an agency to try and figure out which one's going to be best for you and then meet their individual agency requirements or individual supplier requirements like the College of Disney Knowledge and things like that.
That kind of leads me to my next thing about Magic for Less. How did you end up? I know there's so many different travel agencies. How'd you pick this one? But why'd you pick Magic for Less?
So Mike Rallman, who's the host of the Be Our Guest podcast, you and I both listen to, right? Inspiration to get started with this podcast. He was my travel agent. So okay. I knew how great Mike was. I've listened to Pam and Mike talk for years about the Magic for Less. So I had experience as a customer and a user of this agency. I had experience in kind of getting to know them through the podcast. And so I felt like it was the place that if I was going to do this, this is where I wanted to do it. And what happened was I started making content on Instagram about Disney and providing tips and things like that. And agencies started to reach out to me, and I was like, well, maybe this is something I would love to do and it'd be fun. And then I started to research a little bit more, and I decided I wanted to try and work with the Magic for Less, just because I knew kind of what they stood for, the product that they provided, the training and all those things. I did a lot of research on that front.
So business side, are you an employee of Magic for Less? Are you your own employee?
So you're always going to be a 1099 independent contractor because you're running your own business. And that's where I was talking about, like, the support becomes so important, is that if you don't have training on how to build and start this business, you are going to fail. It is not something that's easy. Like, and I think that's the biggest mistake people make, is they expect that, like, they're going to get all these trips to Disney and Universal with steep discounts and all that kind of stuff. That's not how this process works. You should not expect to get, like, big discounts to Disney and Universal and take a lot of trips and things like that. You are an entrepreneur building a small business from the ground up by yourself. And your agency will provide you with a lot of support. They provide training. And like I said, your actual tech stuff, your email, all that. But when it comes to buying business cards, advertising, getting your name out there, all those things are things that you're doing on your own. And it is very, 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 very difficult. It is not something that's easy to do.
I'll say, just from being in this podcast, that a lot of the agents we've had on, they've been so supportive of our podcast, of you. So I give that back to the Magic for Less of hiring, putting good people, bringing in good people. So that's a good start too. Time commitment. What's your time commitment? And I know you're going to say it varies, but give me a typical.
I spend a lot of time on my business, but that's because, you know, I do a lot of things like social media and the podcast and things that I, like, really enjoy doing that I think a lot of agents don't do. So I wouldn't say that I'm, like, typical, but I would say that, you know, I hate to say it varies because you knew I was going to say that, but I try to make sure that I'm spending hours on my business every day. And there's some days where you have clients that are at Disney that are asking you questions, or the days that they're doing their dining, that you're going to be spending a lot more time because you're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to book their dining. So, you know, and that's after the night before being up at midnight to book their Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, right? So you can have a lot of those kind of situations where you're up late, you're up early, new promotions come out, and you're going through all of your guests to make sure that any discounts that are available get applied to their packages, spending a lot of time on hold with Disney on the phone to make changes or make room requests, all those things. So that's where, like, having a travel agent, I think, is probably the most valuable to people that maybe are familiar with Disney that don't understand what benefit a travel agent would provide to them. It's when a new promotion comes out and you have to call Disney to get your package adjusted, or knowing how to do those things, that I think a travel agent can provide a lot of value, because we spend hours on the phone with Disney just sitting on hold that the customer doesn't have to do anymore. So I think that that's huge.
Being your own employee, you got to make money, right?
That's like the other hard thing for people to understand is, you know, when you book a trip, you don't get paid. Your commission is paid by the supplier, right? So if I book somebody's trip to Walt Disney World, the customer, the traveler, is not paying me anything. We are free to you to use a travel agent, but Disney pays us a commission after you travel. So a great example, Chip, is your trip. I booked your cruise in March of 2025. I will not get paid anything on that cruise until at least April of 2025. So even once you get this business started and you start getting the ball rolling and you're pushing your business and you're really getting things moving and booking trips, you're not getting paid anything until after people travel, which with Disney in particular, they're planning these trips 6, 8, 10 months in advance. Like, I think my very, yeah, I think My very first booking in 2020, my very first booking, I can't remember exactly when it was, but my very first booking was a year and a half in advance, which was nuts to me. And I remember looking at my wife and laughing, thinking like, I'm not going to get paid on this for, you know, 18 months, which is crazy, So like, this is not a get rich quick business. It is a lot of really, really, really hard work. And I think that's why you see a lot of people that do it part-time and do it really successfully. You see a lot of teachers that do it, you know, part-time, but you also see a lot of people that start it and then stop in 4 or 5 months because they didn't realize the commitment that it was going to, you know, take. They probably didn't get enough training and they don't understand how to start and run a new business. So I'm not like trying to throw cold water on anybody's idea of doing this, because it's a lot of fun and it is absolutely worth it, but it is a heck of a lot of work. That's for sure.
Yeah. Kind of, I'm more curious now, what all can you book?
I can virtually book anything. you name it, I can book it. The big thing is like each supplier has to have their own training. So if you do Royal Caribbean, the agent has to have training with Royal Caribbean. If you do Marriott, you have to have training with Marriott. And you kind of have to stay up to date on all those trainings, you know, annually. So you name it, I can book it. I tend to stick to Disney and Universal stuff, especially when I'm kind of advertising or sharing about my business, because that's what I enjoy the most. It's not, and it's also what I've found that people need the most help with. You don't see people that, you know, if they want to go to Puerto Vallarta in Mexico and stay at a Marriott, you don't really need a travel agent. I'm not going to provide as much value, because you're going to book that trip on Marriott's website and most likely they're not going to change they're not going to have a promotion that's going to come out. You're not buying tickets. It's not incredibly complicated. You may need, you know, travel back and forth from the airport to the hotel, but it's really limited. You're not booking a ton of dining and all that other stuff. So I like to stick to the areas where people need me the most, which is where I found my business, you know, kind of thrives. Yeah. But technically I can book anything. The only thing I will personally not book for anyone is airfare.
Interesting.
I will help people find airfare. Like I'll happily keep an eye on promotions from Southwest or help you look for flights and find the best deal, but I will not book them for you.
So I this may be my travel hacking side for a tip for anybody, just for booking airfare. Google Flights is probably my favorite thing to use. Mm-hmm. I told my superintendent we need access to it on our school through our school Gmail, but he won't approve it. But it's through most Gmails. Just use Google Flights. I've had very good success. So that's one of the biggest tips I would give people. Kind of one of my last couple questions. Is it worth it to you?
I think so. But the for me, I love writing. I love doing the podcast. I love doing the videos. I love building the website and doing the social media stuff. Like the challenge of building a business is what I love, and doing it with Disney and Universal being attached to it, to me, is even more fun. Right. Yeah. So I love it just for that reason. And getting to plan other people's vacations is a lot of fun. Getting to talk to people, like I've got a really, really good friend. They're probably my wife and I's best friends. They're taking their kids 4 and 5 and 3 first trip to Walt Disney World in June. We talk to them every time they're over here. We talk to them about Disney and about their planning and where they are and what dining we're going to book and all this stuff and all the different places they're going to go, what movies they're going to watch. Like I love it. And it's so much fun to be able to talk to people like that. And I get to do it with a new group of people every day, yeah. Which is that to me, that's kind of the dream, right? Like for those that don't know, I'm also a lawyer and I love my legal job. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love my job, but this is a lot of fun and it's something that's a lot less stressful and it really brings me a lot of joy. So I absolutely think it's worth it for sure.
Kind of going back to travel side, Magical Express is no longer. Do you book private shuttles, private transfers, or do I need to go through a different website? And then along with that, what about cruise line? Like getting from to cruise, the cruise.
Yeah, I'll do all that transportation for anybody Obviously, if you're going to use Uber, there's no need for me, yeah. But I have private transportation I can recommend. I can book mirrors for you, and I'll handle setting all that up for when you arrive, when you're leaving, all that fun stuff. I'll take care of all of it. Same goes for strollers and stuff like that. So there's none of that stuff that you need to worry about, which makes it very stress-free. And then you're just heading on your vacation.
Kind of last thing, any general advice for anybody who's looking to get into it?
Do a lot of research and make sure that you're getting in with the right agency. Do not sign up to do this job without a full understanding of what you're getting yourself into and how difficult it is. That said, like the commitment itself and your time and your money to find out one way or another and to kind of take that leap, it's not going to break you. You're not paying $10,000 to start your business where you're going to be out $10,000 if it doesn't work. You're out a year's worth of the fees to the agency and whatever time you spend training. If you get deep into it and you're like, this is not for me. So to me, it's make that leap and go for it, but make sure you're finding an agency that's going to do right by you and train you and spend a lot of the time helping you to succeed, have, you know, mentors and people that'll help you, because that's another thing. Like, it's like any other kind of sales business. It can be very competitive. Like, there's a lot of people that don't want to help other people in this industry. I don't feel that at the Magic for Less. And I think anybody that's listened to the other agents that have come on this show, like, you can tell. I don't mind having other agents on our show. I don't mind at all. I don't mind. We've had people on the show that use other agents, right?
Yeah.
That have had relationships with them before they met us and those kinds of things. So I don't care at all. I would encourage anybody to use a travel agent. It does not have to be me, right? But you need those kinds of people that will help you build your business and do whatever it takes and give you information and all that stuff to help you succeed. Because if you've got a bunch of people that are like, this is my secret sauce and I'm not sharing anything with you and all that stuff, it's like any other job. It's like toxic, right? So I hate that kind of stuff. I think the Magic for Less is wonderful in that regard. And there's definitely a lot of great agencies out there to consider. Just be very careful of the ones that look like they're burning and churning a lot of agents. You're going to get yourself in trouble there.
I think that's for sure. going with that, I mean, just see who's got a podcast. I think that's a big thing, and see who's promoting themselves. And I think you do a phenomenal job of doing that, is promoting yourself and promoting your product. And you're my travel agent, so might as well use you, right?
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. But for those of you that are not interested or have never had questions about becoming a Disney travel agent, we've got more listener questions. Yes. So we're gonna pump through this inbox real quick. The first one that we've got here was, my dining reservation is early, before the park and early entry opens. We've got an 8 a.m. reservation, and 8:30 is when early entry starts. 9 o'clock is when the park opens. How do I get in, and how do I get there? Chip, you want to let us know? What do you think?
Yeah, well, so I've done this. We did it in Hollywood Studios, going to Hollywood and Vine. And then I saw it this past summer at Magic Kingdom when people were going to be our guests in Cinderella's Royal Table. So you're going to get through the turnstiles. They normally start that 45 minutes before they actually rope drop. They'll get you through the turnstiles. And then they'll have a holding area. And then you'll see somebody holding a sign. It says, like, the restaurant, wherever you're going, this way. And you go up to them, and there's two people. One person's holding a sign. The other one has an iPad. That's where you'll check in. They'll see your reservation. They'll say, all right, this is what the path you're going to go. Make a left here, make a right here. And that's where you get the pictures with nobody in the park. Because there'll be one or two photo pass people along the way that you can get a picture, because they understand why you're doing it. It's pretty easy. You'll see signs.
Yeah.
That's my advice, is you'll see it.
Yeah. Those are great, great points, Chip. And you can get there in terms of transportation. The buses will start running and the Skyliner will start running about an hour before early entry, at least. So, you know, if early entry is 8:30, the buses will start running like 7:30. You'll want to usually be on one of the first buses.
I didn't tell you this. So we went to the Magic Kingdom. We were on the first bus and we were held. Like, they stopped us before you would get off. So like, you know how if you're coming to the Magic Kingdom, before you turn around to go to your, where they drop you off, they stopped us there. We were the first bus. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
Because we were on a bus at like 6:30 and they didn't let us off until 7. It was one of those type of things.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely want to be on an earlier bus to make sure that you're getting there for that earlier of a reservation. And if you haven't done these before, either early reservations before the park opens or after the park closes, definitely do them. Great, as Chip pointed out, great photo opportunity. Great way to get in the parks when there's not a lot of people. So that it's a really cool opportunity there. The next one, I had a guess with this issue. If you had to choose between the Polynesian or Animal Kingdom Lodge Savannah View for your first ever Disney vacation, which one are you picking?
First ever.
With kids. With kids.
Yeah, with kids. You know what? My Kidani or Jumbo. That might be I don't think it really matters, but I'm leaning towards Animal Kingdom for the sole purpose of the kids and the environment. It's more of a chill resort. You're not going to get that hustle and bustle that you're going to get being by the Magic Kingdom where you're getting all those people in there. It's a quiet resort as long as you're not in the lobby. So that's why I'm leaning probably towards the Savannah View, and you're going to have the animals. And with kids, you're going to be taking breaks. So go back, take that nap. Parents sit on the patio, watch the animals. Dads crack a cold one. That's what I would be doing. Mom drink whatever you want to drink. My wife will probably have margaritas. So do whatever you got to do. But I would probably lean towards, that was our first trip was with our kids, was Savannah View. So I loved it. We loved it.
You can't go wrong with this equation. Yeah. My advice to them was the Polynesian. And it was more because for this guest in particular, it was more because the pricing on the Polynesian was, I hadn't seen it that cheap in a long time. It was cheaper than Saratoga Springs.
Wow.
Which to me, like, just never happens. Yeah. So I thought it was a good opportunity to get the Polynesian. And the Polynesian is a bucket list resort for most people. So to get a bucket list resort like that at that kind of price, to me, you've got to take it. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Savannah View, you can get really good deals in it throughout the year, especially in September. So to me, there's other opportunities for it. And the last point that I thought was really important is if it's your first trip with kids, you're going to be spending a lot of time at the theme parks.
Yeah.
So the Savannah View to me is like I said, you can't go wrong. I think Chip made a lot of really great points. If you're planning on taking a lot of good rest breaks or you're going to do a couple of resort days, definitely check it out. But if you want to be in and out of the resort, spending some time at the pool, but more so being in the parks, especially if you're going to spend a lot of time at Magic Kingdom with little kids, the Polynesian, you can't go wrong. Cause it is, it's, what do they call it? The creme de la creme. It's the best, right? So
I heard on a podcast, if you hear Grand Floridian and Polynesian, if I just say the Polynesian, that's all I say, the Polynesian, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no doubt.
If I were to say Animal Kingdom, you may not know. But if I say the Polynesian, most people, especially a little older generation, is going to say, that's where the Beatles ended or whatever. So,
good point.
I'm with you there.
So the next question we've got here, what room requests should I make? Where do I start to decide and make this decision? So Chip, just for background for people, when you're staying at these resorts, some of them are really large. They've got different room types, different room locations, close to the lobby, close to the pool, close to the bus, close to Disney Springs, whatever the case may be. Everybody has an opportunity to make room requests, but they're never guaranteed, especially if, you know, you're asking for a pool view when you didn't pay for a pool view. That's, you know, you're less likely to be able to get it, but it doesn't hurt to ask. And so my question for you is, Chip, where do you start when you're starting to think about room requests, and what room requests do you typically make?
So when we're looking at room requests, it just depends on the resort. We tend to do the dining plan. So one of the big things is we want to be close to the lobby, mostly because of the refillable mugs. I just actually made my room request for Saratoga. I requested the pool and near a bus stop, because they give you a drop down box. I want to be over, what is it, the grand? No, is it the paddock? I want to be by the paddock.
Mm-hmm. Paddock's where you were. Yeah,
that's where I want to be, because I think it's the second bus stop, second or third bus stop. It's got a feature pool. It's got a refillable mug station. So that's kind of where I do. I do some research. The touring plans, I'll tell you what, they do a great job of showing rooms and like room locations. You can go on their website and find their room finder. It's phenomenal, because then you can see the view. So I do that. But for me, we want to be by a bus stop. And if we've got the mugs, we want to be by a refillable mug station. So that's our top two. This past year, we just wanted to be by the bus stop. We weren't getting refillable mugs. So we just wanted to be as close to a bus stop, just for the sense of we have a stroller, we have kids building.
Yeah, to Chip's point, it depends on the resort. So if you're at a larger resort like Saratoga Springs, your location is going to matter more than if you're at a small resort like the Riviera or the Contemporary. Like your location doesn't make a difference. So if you're at the Contemporary, you may be asking to be closer to the elevator, or ask to be on a lower floor or a higher floor, Those kinds of things. So if you're at Saratoga Springs, you're trying to figure out what building you're going to be in. If you're at Caribbean Beach, you're going to be figuring out, what country am I in? And that comes down to, do you want to be by the bus? Do you want to be by the Skyliner? Do you want to be by the pool? Do you want to be by the lobby? There's a lot of different things that go into it. So this is really something that you should not gloss over, and make sure that when you're, think about what your resort is, do a lot of research and figure out what's going to be best for you and your family. A lot of times I get a lot of guests that are doing like low floor, high floor, by the stairs, by the elevator, that kind of thing. If you're traveling with multiple groups, asking to be close to each other or far away from each other, if you don't want to be close to each other. So those things all matter. And especially like Saratoga, it's really critical, because they've got so many different pools, and It's such a big resort that you really need to make those choices.
And I would say, like, when you go to check in, like, I use the app, but I check in so early that it doesn't really matter. I still go to the desk and I'll be like, hey, is there any chance we could be over by this pool or this bus stop? And if you're a phenomenal person and you're like to them and treat them like, hey, good morning, say hello to them, treat them like a human being, they're probably going to do whatever they can to make that work. They might say, hey, listen, that room's been booked or that building's been booked for a month and we can't get anybody in and out, whatever. But just go up and ask. I mean, the worst thing anybody can tell you is no.
Yeah, I agree completely. It never hurts to ask. And Disney cast members are all humans too, right? So Make sure you're treating them with respect and being as nice as possible. And usually they do a really good job of taking care of you. Next question was, if I'm staying off site, can I buy Genie Plus and make my first selection at 7 a.m.? What about individual lightning lanes? If you're staying off site, you can buy Genie Plus just like normal before 7 a.m. You can also make your first selection at 7 a.m. just like everybody else. What's different about staying off site is that you cannot purchase individual lightning lanes until the park opens. So if the park opens at 9, you can't buy Rise of the Resistance or anything like that until 9 o'clock. So it's a little bit different, but for the most part, individual lightning lanes aren't selling out. So that's really not a huge issue. You can buy Genie Plus and make your first selection just like everybody else. The next question was another Genie Plus question, and this will be the last one we're going to get to on this episode. And we'll save that. We've got, I think, three more in the queue that we'll save for the next episode. Does the price of Genie Plus have anything to do with park crowd expectations?
100%.
I would say no, actually.
Really?
Yeah, well, and the reason is that it's capped, right? So if the multiple park is capped at $35, like spring break, it's been $35 every day. It doesn't tell you a whole lot about what to expect at an individual park. I mean, it's going to be crowded if it's $35 like that. I think generally you can guess that. but it doesn't tell you Magic Kingdom is going to be crowded or like this day is going to be more crowded than when it was $35 in January or whatever. I don't think you can get like a ton of really good planning out of that. And also it's the, you only find out the day of your yeah. you're there. So like, what good does it do you anyway? is the bigger issue.
I would lean towards, if it's 35, you're going to think, okay, it's going to probably be a busy day. If it's 27, okay, could be busy. They don't know exactly. And I might luck out that I'm at Hollywood Studios on when it's dead, you know, and I still have the multi-park day. So it's one of those that they're anticipating, but they don't know 100% for sure either. They just know the room, how many rooms are booked in their resorts.
Let me ask you this. You would not, the morning of, see pricing and change your plans based on the price, right?
No, probably yeah. not. Probably because I have other things going on.
You know what? You generally know and have a good idea of what you want to do that day. And you're not going to let like Genie Plus being $19 at Hollywood Studios versus $21 change your plans. So yeah. To me, I would not, I mean, take it with a grain of salt and make a note of it or whatever, but I wouldn't use any of that to make your decisions on what you're doing or anything like that. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. And if you have any comments or questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us on social media, or you can reach out via email. Chip, where can people find you on Instagram?
At Robinson Dad Life.
And if you're interested in having me assist you in planning your next Universal or Disney vacation, please feel free to reach out. All the links to get a free quote are in the show notes. Our services are free to you, and we'd love to help you plan your dream vacation. If you have a moment and could follow, like, subscribe, review the podcast on whatever platform you prefer, we always greatly appreciate the support. And that's going to wrap it up. We're going to see you in the parks, and we'll see you next week.
And we'll see you when we see you.